Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Wow. Well, then stay. Because I have a really great message that goes right along with the worship. It was like, wow, Lord, you are so good. Okay, is everybody ready to get in the Word?
Yes.
Everybody ready for the Word to get in you?
Yes.
Okay. If you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The Lord put this on my heart a while back. I'm just reading 2 Peter, and I just want to read the first four verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, that's us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you would be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I read that, partakers of the divine nature, and it was like, wow, that's God's DNA. We can partake of God's DNA. So, not being a scientist or have ever studied DNA, I've seen it in movies, it's that squiggly thing that everybody's got in their body. And so I looked up, just so I knew a little bit more about it. But your human DNA is uniquely yours, and mine is uniquely mine. And we have, the majority is the same in each of us. There's just a teeny tiny little bit that makes us unique to us. And our DNA is what tells our cells what to do. So our cells are like the computer, and our DNA is the program that runs it. So if we can partake of God's program that runs things, if we can partake in us, wow, you can partake of God's DNA, of his divine nature, everything that makes him God. And I'm reading this and I'm going, wow, and it says we've already got everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we know that, and we say it. But sometimes our prayers will give us a way that, you know, I really haven't received it all. You relate with that? Okay. Let's pray just a minute and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. So, Father, thank you that you have made a way for us to participate, be a partaker, a partner with you and your nature, the very thing that makes you you. You said we could. Would you help each one of us? You know where we're at uniquely. You know where each one of us is and what we need help with. Thank you, Lord. And I just believe you're doing it even right now. In Jesus' name. Well, as I read this, I was thinking about the author, Peter. Now, does anybody not know who Peter is? We've all read, did you raise your hand? You don't, oh, okay. That's good. So I was thinking about Peter. And I started looking through the Gospels. What did the Gospels say about Peter? And what I found out, when I put it all together, what a picture. What a character. I can hardly wait to meet him. He is the disciple of Jesus that is given, his name is in there more than anybody else's. John comes in close, and of course Jesus tops him, but for the disciples, his name is mentioned more than any. He was always talking, sometimes with his foot in his mouth, sometimes out of his mouth, but he had something to say about almost everything. And he's the one, when we get to 2 Peter, he is about to the end of his life. And he knew from a prophecy that Jesus gave him that the end of his life was going to be very difficult. And we'll cover that. So this is about maybe a year, maybe two, before he was martyred. He was crucified on a cross. He wanted to be different than Jesus. He didn't feel qualified to die the way Jesus did. So tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down. And he was somewhere in his mid-60s when he gave his life. It was taken by actually Nero, who was the emperor of Rome at the time. Nobody knows exactly how Peter got over to Rome to have a part in it, but that's where he was. And Nero hated Christians, detested them. He was anti-Christ, anti-God. And that is how Peter gave his life. So I thought, the disciple that's mentioned the most, and this is his last words to us, there has to be a lot we can learn. But I wanted to look at his life. And what I found is he made some huge errors. But I saw how he always picked himself up and kept on going and never quit. Never quit. You know, that's the key for us. We don't get to quit. Don't quit. We win if we don't quit. We will finish, excuse me, if we don't quit. The only thing that's different in a loser and a winner is the winner didn't quit. That's the only thing. So I'm just going to walk us through. We won't turn to all the passages because I want to just kind of briefly cover and give you the picture of Peter and see if you find yourself in any of the situations like he was in. So when Jesus called him, he was roughly 30 years old. He was about the same age as Jesus was. And he had a fishing business. He had his own boat. He had his own nets. He was married. It tells us that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So to have a mother-in-law, you must be married. So Peter is fishing. And this was the way he supported his family. And Jesus said, "You, follow me." He left it. I go, "Peter, what were you thinking? How are you going to feed your wife and kids? What were you doing?" He left it because Jesus said, "You, follow me." And in the Hebrew culture, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. And the rabbis had disciples that they trained up, that they taught everything that they knew so that those disciples could carry on and be exactly like the rabbi. However, in that culture, the rabbi didn't normally call his followers. The followers petitioned a rabbi, "I'd like to be taught by you. I would like you to teach me if I could only be one of your students." So for Jesus as a rabbi to come and say, "You, follow me," that was a big deal. So Peter and his brother both left everything to follow Jesus. I see Peter as a what I would call a first responder. He's gotten a little bit of faith, and he and the other disciples are out walking, or they're in the boat, and there's a storm, and here comes this ghost-like figure walking toward them, and they were afraid. Only the figure said, "It's me, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Fear not." And Peter goes, see, this is, he responds to Jesus, "Oh, if it's you, just tell me to come. And I'll come." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter hops over the side of the boat and he walks on water. Nobody else did that. Nobody else. They all heard the "come," but only Peter got out. And then it says, he saw the wind and the waves. And he began to sink. I'm going to tell you what. You don't begin to sink if you walk off the edge of anything. I lived on the water. I had a dock, and I could walk to the end of the dock, and the next step, I was underwater. You don't begin to sink. I can only picture that he went down real slow and then said, "Jesus!" And Jesus reached out, and he said, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" He didn't rebuke him. But he picked him up. He got in the boat. I would imagine it was humiliating. He's the only wet guy in the boat. The rest of the disciples had to be looking at him, and he's probably wondering, what are you thinking? Are you thinking I'm a failure? Or could they have been thinking, wow, you walked on water? We don't know. We can only imagine those things. Peter was told, along with all the other disciples, Jesus said, I'm giving you power. I'm delegating my power. It wasn't from inside, like we have the Holy Spirit inside. He delegated power to them and said, I want you to go heal the sick, and I want you to raise the dead, and this is what I want you to do. And as a disciple, they knew in their culture that they could do whatever their rabbi said. So that's what they went out and did. So Peter's learning. All this while, he's learning about God's DNA, God's nature. Peter was real quick to speak. I don't think too many things went through the filter of, should I say this or shouldn't I say this? Should I just be quiet? Just blah. And one thing he said was so awesome. Jesus said, this is in Matthew 16. You're going to want to go home this afternoon and just read the Gospel of Matthew, because it's got so much about Peter. He said, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's right. But I want you to know, Peter, that flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. You're not all that smart. But my Father, who's in heaven, he revealed it to you. Now, that had to be, wow, this is who the Old Testament talks about, or to them it was the Torah. This is what the Torah talks about. This is our rabbi. He is the Son of God. Wow. What did that information do in Peter's mind, in his head? I'm not exactly sure, but it said that from that point on, Jesus went and brought them through Jerusalem, and he's telling them all the time, I'm going to be coming here. The high priest, the scribes and Pharisees are going to put me on trial. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put in the grave. And then I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter went, he took Jesus aside and he said, not you. Oh, you know, like if it's got anything to do with me, I'm the guy with a revelation who you are. No, no, not you. You know, Jesus didn't mince words. He said, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God. You're only mindful of the things of man. He was getting to see God's character. He had to be thinking, what about me? Lord, you said I had this revelation, and now you're telling me to be quiet, and you're calling me like Satan? And I had to ask myself, do I let the word correct me that clearly? Do I take correction from the Lord that clearly, or do I try to talk him out of stuff like Peter did? Like, no, no, not you, Lord. You certainly can't mean that. I know, I have read scriptures and gone, oh, you got to be kidding me. That's for me? That's about impossible. But that's how we get to partake of his DNA, by letting this word speak in our hearts. And if it's harsh, praise God, he loved you enough to get your attention, to shake you, to get you by the collar and say, listen, I love you. You're messing up. I have messed up. And I could relate with Peter when God told him, when Jesus said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And it's going to be within 24 hours, it's going to be before the rooster crows. No, not me. Do you ever say that? You see somebody leave the Lord or leave things of God, and you go, oh, how can they do that? Sometimes I think we we got to give people a little bit of grace and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, because Peter was sure he would never, ever, ever do that. And that night, on the third time, when he said, somebody said, "Hey, don't you know Jesus?" "Nope. No, no, not me." Across the courtyard stood Jesus. He turned. He looked at him. Just a look. And I want to read you what the Passion Translation says. With a shattered heart. With a shattered heart, Peter went out of the courtyard, sobbing with bitter tears. You know, we get taught the grace message, which, if that's the only message you listen to, it'll tell you that you can do probably just anything and God will love you anyway. That's true. But he doesn't want to leave you in a mess. What I saw in Peter was true repentance. Some of us have things we really need to repent for. We've done the, "Hallelujah, Lord, I'm sorry. Thanks for forgiving me." But we haven't turned. We haven't faced it. And we need to. We need to. If we're really going to partake of God's DNA, his nature really, obviously, Jesus went to the cross. His nature isn't one to tolerate sin, or he wouldn't have paid such a price. That is not his nature. Let's see. Peter's come to be one of my heroes after looking all these up. There was a time when some of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were coming up and say, "Hey, Peter, doesn't your master pay taxes?" It must have been close to April 14th. And so Peter goes and asks him, "Lord, are we supposed to pay taxes?" And he said, "You give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And Peter, if you just take a hook and go out and catch a fish, you can open his mouth, and in the mouth will be enough money, and you go pay your taxes and mine." What I thought was very interesting is Peter had been a fisherman. God didn't say, "Peter, go get a boat. Peter, go get your nets, because you know how to make money." He said, "Peter, one hook will do it. Just one hook. You just put that hook down, and here's everything you need for you and for me." What was Peter learning? He was learning about God's DNA. God's a provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. Peter was the one that said, kind of out of the clear, it's written out of the clear blue in the Gospels, like he come up to Jesus one day and said, "By the way, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7? I would imagine him and his brother had a squabble. And Jesus said, "No, 70 times 7. He went, "Whoa." But he's learning. What did he learn about God's forgiveness? Not only did he have to forgive 70 times 7, but he's saying, that's my nature. I'll forgive you that much. We got to the Passover, and Jesus picked up the water and a towel and went around to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, "Oh, Lord, no, no, you can never, never wash my feet." And I understand where he'd be coming from. But Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you will have no part of me." And Peter said, "I'm all in. Wash my head, wash my hands. Get me clean, man. I have to ask, am I all in? Are you all in?" You know, I look at the feet and I thought, that's where I'm going to walk the walk. My hands, That's what I'm going to do. My head. It's how I'm going to think. Peter was saying, I'm all in, Jesus. I am all in. You and me have to answer that for ourselves. And sometimes I don't think we can really answer it because we think we are. Ask the Lord to show you if you really, really want to partake in his DNA. Lord, is there something keeping me from experiencing all of you that I possibly can? After Jesus died, went to the cross, rose from the dead, Peter had denied him, and now he's going to have to face it somehow, look him in the eye. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So Jesus meets them. The disciples have gone back to fishing. They got their boats and they got their nets and they're fishing. And they see somebody standing on the shore. And he said, how's the fishing? Not good. We fished all night and didn't get anything. Throw the net in on the other side. They did that and it filled up with fish. And Peter, he's sharp, he's quick. That must be Jesus. So he goes tearing off out of the boat, through the water, and walks up to the shore, and Jesus is cooking them fish and chips for breakfast. And they have their breakfast, and they have their fellowship. And then he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Let's just turn there a minute. That's John 21. I want to read a little bit of this. Because I think he would ask all of this. You know, we get so busy sometimes looking up in the Word and trying to get revelation of God loves us. Do we have a revelation of do we love God? Do we love him with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind? That's all he asks. That's how much he wants us to love him. And then our neighbor as ourself. So let's see. Verse 15 of chapter 21 of John. They ate their breakfast, and Jesus said to Peter, he singled him out. That would have to make me gulp. Like, okay, this is where he's going to say something to me about I denied him. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, well, feed my lambs. He's letting Peter know his work is going to be with people. Again, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, tend my sheep. A third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now Peter's grieved. The Lord ever ask you anything that grieved you? Well, I'll be honest, sometimes it's like, Lord, give me a break. Really? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then he goes on to tell him how he's going to die. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He knew he was going to be out of control. But I saw in this, Jesus didn't beat him up. He restored him. When he's saying, Peter, I'm trusting you with my lambs. I'm trusting you with my sheep. Wow. He trusts us with each other. He trusts us with those that he loves. We sometimes look at other people, especially the ones that really, really, really need the Lord, as, oh boy, they're a mess. He's trusting us with the precious ones that he loves so much. We look at things wrong. And then, verse 20, Peter turned into Peter again. He said, then Peter turning around, he saw John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who had also leaned on his breast at the Passover supper, and he said, who had said, Lord, who is this that betrays you? So he's identifying him that was the disciple John. And Peter, seeing him, he said to Jesus, well, Lord, what about this man? You ever do that? Lord, what's going on in their life? Lord, how come they got the goods? I've been believing you for the goods. Lord, how come they got healed? I didn't get healed. Lord, how come their family is just blessed and everything just seems to fall in line for them? What about me? What about me? What about me? What about them? What's going to happen to them? You just told me what's going to happen to me and my end's not going to be too good. What about him? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? That's a nice way to say, mind your own business, isn't it? That's the divine nature speaking. He said, you, right back to the beginning, you, follow me. We get so focused on things that aren't Jesus or aren't the way he's leading or aren't according to his word. He said, that's all I want from you. Follow me. You, follow me. What's he saying to you? Are you following him the way he wants you to? Nobody can answer it. You can't answer it for anybody, and nobody can answer it for you. From there, Peter is there the day that Jesus left earth and went to heaven. And his last words were, now go in Jerusalem and you wait. You will be endued with power from on high. They went to Jerusalem and waited. They waited for 10 days. How long would you wait? The man who made the promise, he's out of here. Would you wait? Would we all sit in this church and wait for 10 days? Yeah, you say, yeah, we can order pizza. They'll deliver. We'll be okay. Would you wait? Didn't go to your job? Didn't do anything else? Don't know if the family was there with them? They waited. I can see one day. Two. Three? Would you wait? But such a power when the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem. And then he got that Jesus had delegated power to him before. He's saying, Peter, you just go out and do this because I say to do it. Now it's like it's inside of him. You understand the difference? We have it inside of us. We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's in there. Whether you feel it or not. And sometimes you just have to look down and tell yourself, it's in there. It's in there. It's in there. But Peter acted on it. He stood up and preached a message that 3,000 people got saved the same day. The next day, they're in the temple, him and John, and they come up to the lame man. And Peter says, he says, what I have, do you know what you have? Peter said, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Do you know what you have? We have to know what we have in order to partake of the divine nature. Peter acted on it. He acted on it. He was so full of the Holy Spirit. He operated in discerning of spirits and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. It's how he could speak to Ananias and Sapphira and tell them, why is Satan having you lie? And they, oh, not me. Yes, you. And what did that do? They didn't live very long. He knew those things by the spirit that was in him. He'd walk by people in his shadow. If his shadow covered them, they would get healed. Wow. Amazing. The man who denied Jesus, the man who spoke out of turn, the man who got out of the boat and sunk, he's the one started building the church in Jerusalem. Do you know he was uneducated? This is amazing. Acts 4 tells us he's uneducated and he's teaching. You know, we often think we're not qualified. Well, so-and-so's qualified. They went to Bible school. Will Bible school qualify you? The Lord qualifies you. Bible school might help equip you, but the Lord qualifies you. And when he says go, and you ask him now, and he says now, you go whether you've gone to Bible school or not. And I'm not saying anything against Bible school. I loved it. It was awesome. But sometimes that holds us back when we look at other people because we compare ourselves with other people and you go, well, you know, I see what they're doing, but their education is so much greater than mine. If we can be like Peter and partake of the divine nature, and when God says, go, go, he says, speak, and you trust him. I just see through all of Peter's life, he was learning who Jesus was and that he was trustworthy. He was trustworthy through the whole thing. Peter was the one that God chose to give the revelation that salvation was also for the Gentiles. He got a word from the Lord. I want you to go to this house. He did. He didn't question it. He did. We have to hear God. We have to hear him. We have to get our direction from him. Like the one song, if you don't say go, Lord, I'm not going. I probably have the words a little bit wrong, but if you don't say go, I'm staying. If you say go, I'm not staying. I'm going. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to go where you say. That's what happened in Peter's life. Now, I've got to ask you, if you were facing Nero, we don't have Nero here today. We have other enemies of the cross that are here today that set themselves up, Antichrist, against God. Are you prepared to face them like Peter did? Are you prepared to say that because you know Jesus, you have everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness? Or do you feel you still need to go get some more stuff? Get some more knowledge, get some more equipment. Where are you in this? Have you ever started out in faith, I'm going to go do it. The Lord told me to go do it, I'm going to go do it. And you get out of the boat and you're still at the bottom of the lake. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth and got humiliated and felt intimidated enough that it just shut you down and shut you up, and now you won't speak for the Lord? Have you ever left the call that God called, and you know it was a call from God on your life, and you went back to your old ways, to your old work? Do you need a check with him? Am I in error here, Lord? Are you all in? Or is it just you happy with just your feet? Does the Lord have everything? All of you? Every part of you? Do you feel maybe you've really failed and you've broken God's heart? And now you're disqualified? I'm so grateful for Peter's story here, to know we're not disqualified. Did you fail God and maybe you even spoke bad about him? Maybe you blamed him for doing some of the evil in the world before you understood. That doesn't disqualify you. Just change. Repent. If you have to go home and weep bitterly before the Lord, do it. It's worth it. You need to have a time with the Lord. Are you on track? Are you on the track that He called you to? Is there anything He wants to change? You know, sometimes we just think, I'm really doing good. Ask Him. We think sometimes we're doing better than we are, and sometimes we think we're worse than we are. We need to start checking with Him on it, because He's the only one that can get down way deep in your heart. He's the only one that can uncover motives that you don't even know that are there. Nobody else but Him can do it. Nobody. And then we can get to the place like Peter was, knowing he's going to face persecution, death. And we can say, my faith is so precious. Is your faith so precious to you? So precious that you can believe on Jesus. What a gift. What a gift we have. We can believe. Have you ever thought about how precious it is that you can believe? Do you know that in Him is everything you need for life and godliness? That's where He wants us to live. I'm going to close with that today, and next week I want to go back and look at 2 Peter and see what this man who we just talked about today, the words he left us with. If you knew you were about to be martyred and you could write a letter, you'd probably write all your experiences that were going to help somebody. I see in Peter's heart here, as he starts this, he's still feeding and tending the sheep. He cares about people because that's what God's heart is. Would you please stand with me, and could I have the prayer ministers come up? How many have something they have to go home and talk to the Lord about? Yeah, me too. Me too. I read Peter this week, and I thought, wow, Lord, I need to talk to you. I need some improvement. Some areas that need to improve. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the picture of Peter, that you recorded all those things for us. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from his life. We don't have to make the mistakes he did, but if we have, we can still walk in the victory he walked in. Father, thank you for this precious, precious faith that we have, that you have packed your word so full that when we read your word, faith comes in our heart. Thank you for that miracle. Thank you. Now, Lord, you know which ones of us here need a little boot to get going. We've stopped for some reason. You know who needs just some encouragement to keep going. You know where each one of us is. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You can know our hearts and love us and help us get to the next step. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Now, if you have a prayer request, Or if you want one of the prayer ministers to agree with you, please come up. If not, you are dismissed, and we'll see you next week.